We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
I opened our marriage on our anniversary. My husband raged and took brutal revenge. Where did you get that? She asked, shocked. Really? I show you proof of your cheating and you ask where I got it? Does it matter? Will it change the fact that you cheated on me? I asked my wife of 7 years. It looks bad, and I admit we kissed, but it's not cheating. We were in full view of others, she replied. So that's your defense? No explanation of who he is or why you were kissing? You think because you're not having sex in the picture, it's fine? Is that your idea of keeping our vows? I retorted. Brian, I see you're upset. We were just caught off guard. Making a big deal out of this won't help, she said firmly. You haven't even given me his name. Why should I get upset over someone I don't know? I said sarcastically. Does his name matter? You might do something stupid like pick a fight, and he'll punch you. I won't let that happen, she objected. Thanks for your honesty. You've made your choice, now I'll make mine, I replied hotly. I turned and ran upstairs to pack. She followed me. What are you doing? She asked, confused. Packing a suitcase, I responded curtly. But why? She questioned, desperation in her voice. I can't take your lies and deceit. I need to leave before I do something I regret, I growled. Don't be silly, Brian. You wouldn't slap me, she said, trying to reason with me. Until today, I thought you'd never cheat on me. I guess we don't know each other, I shot back. Cheating? Who said I cheated? Kissing him wasn't cheating, she argued. There you go, lying again. But I've never cheated on you, Brian. I didn't cheat on you with him or anyone else, she shouted, her voice rising. What do you call this? I held out another picture from that same night. A pretty good picture of her entertaining him. But where? How? She stammered. Does it matter? Does knowing change the fact that you cheated and lied? I demanded. She dropped the pictures and sobbed, trying to hug me. Stay away, Tracy. I gave you a chance to be honest, but you didn't think I was worth the truth. I could have stayed to discuss this for our son's sake if you were honest, but you demand too much. I'll take my phone. Only call for emergencies with Bobby or I'll block you. Clear? She nodded, and I walked out, furious and heartbroken. I checked into a motel on Friday night. I decided to take the weekend to consider my next steps. If I divorced her, Bobby would be in a single-parent home, and I'd have to pay alimony and child support. I wished she had explained or apologized. That's why I decided it was better for us to be apart and think about our next move. The absence of my wife and son weighed heavily on me, and the loneliness was unbearable. I cried until I passed out. By noon the next day, messages started arriving. I had earned an engineering degree and worked at a local chemical lab. After 5 years, I was offered a production manager position at a research and development center 1,000 miles away with a significant salary increase. We moved, leaving friends and family behind. Tracy got a job at a large credit card company's call center with over 1,200 employees her age. A year later, Bobby was born, and I convinced her to be a stay-at-home mom since I was well paid. She loved her work friends, who quickly became our social circle. We often got together with her KEO workers and their spouses. Although I had no objections, our social life mostly revolved around her KEO workers. I felt out of place among the charming men, but they treated me well. The messages were from our friends, whom Tracy had informed about our problems in detail. They urged me to meet and resolve the situation. I was amazed at how she kept this from me but shared it with them. I disliked others knowing the intimate details of my life. Tracy didn't call or text, knowing I'd block her. Cassidy, Tracy's best friend, seemed to instigate everything. She wanted me to meet the group at her house on Sunday at 6 p.m. Suspecting a trap, I suggested Angus Steakhouse instead, where I could leave freely. They reluctantly agreed. I had several reasons to agree to the meeting, to understand why Tracy did what she did, to see whose side our friends were on, and to learn if anyone was involved in her actions. As an account manager, I'm used to confrontations and staying calm. I wanted answers to make an informed decision. I parked my car nearby and walked to the restaurant, realizing the group had arrived early to strategize. This amused me. There was only one seat at the table, next to Tracy. She stood to greet me, but I stopped her before she could reach me. If you don't mind, I'd prefer to sit at the far end of the table, away from her. If not, I can sit at another table, I said. Cassidy quickly responded before Tracy could. Of course, Brian. Jared, please give Brian a seat at the end of the table. Your dinner's already paid for, Brian. Let's all go ahead and order. We were in a private dining area to avoid prying eyes. Everyone placed their orders quickly. Before Cassidy or anyone else could start talking, I handed out copies of the photo of Tracy kissing the mystery man. You all seem very interested in Tracy and me settling our differences. I was shocked she shared our personal matters before we had a chance to discuss them ourselves. This shows her continued disrespect for me and our marriage. Cassidy tried to speak, but I interrupted. Before any discussion begins, I want an answer. Look closely at this picture. Do you see that man? Tracy refuses to give his name. I'm sure at least one of you knows who he is. If you want to help, I need information. If no one can be honest and provide the facts, then we have nothing more to discuss. There was complete silence. Even Cassidy hesitated to speak. No one claimed they didn't know the man or offered his name. I had my answer. Thank you for your time. I hope someone is hungry enough to eat my steak. I've lost my appetite. No one here seems interested in helping us repair our relationship. I apologize. I got up and left. Tracy called out, begging me to come back, but no one else did. It was clear our friends were her friends, not mine. Tracy, Cassidy, and the group were stunned. They had planned a reasonable discussion, but I blindsided them with my demand. They weren't prepared to handle it. I didn't mention it at the restaurant, but I was on my way out of the motel. I stopped at a fast food place to grab something to eat. When I got home, I talked to the babysitter Tracy had hired earlier and thanked her. I quickly ate and moved my clothes and personal items into the spare bedroom. Over the weekend, I had bought locks with identical keys for the spare bedroom and hall bathroom doors to avoid any physical encounters with Tracy. Once settled, I played with my 3-year-old son, bathed him, and put him to bed. Tracy arrived home around 10:15 p.m. She seemed happy to see me back and found me in Bobby's room, watching him sleep with tears streaming down my face. I shushed her and waved her away. No need to disturb his innocent slumber. After closing the door, she tried to hug me, but I stopped her. I'm glad you're back. Let me make you something to eat. We need to talk. I've already eaten, but thanks. So, where have you been? With your lover again? I hinted. No, I was at the steakhouse. They helped me find the right words to get us back on track. I have a lot to tell you, she explained. I'll talk if you give me your lover's name. If not, we have nothing to discuss. I can't. I just can't, she said sadly. I wish you'd show me your husband half the devotion you show your lover. I'll stay in the spare bedroom until further notice. Don't touch me. Who knows what diseases you might carry now. But I won't let this keep me from my son. If you're ready to talk, your first words will be your lover's name. If you're willing to sacrifice our marriage to protect him, so be it. Don't speak to me until you're ready to give up his name. She walked away, sobbing. A week went by. Tracy and I only spoke to Bobby, not to each other. On Monday night, I came home to a surprise. Everything seemed fine until I walked into the kitchen. A crowd of Tracy's friends surrounded me, eager to see me again. They avoided saying anything that might annoy me, but it felt like they were walking on eggshells. The first thing I asked was, "Where's Bobby?" I don't want adult conversations around my son. I've dropped him off at the babysitter's. He's staying there tonight, Tracy explained. I see, I said, surprised. There had been pre-planning I wasn't aware of. I didn't see your cars parked outside. We all parked a block away to surprise you, Brian. We couldn't risk you driving by after seeing our cars, Cassidy said. Well, you caught me off guard. Why are you all here? Has something changed that I should know about? I asked. Yes, honey, Tracy began. Let's go to the living room and explain everything. I'm ready to answer your questions. Sure, but I need to use the bathroom first. I'll be right there. I went to the restroom, turned on the recording on my cell phone, and put it in my shirt pocket. Then I joined them in the living room and noticed two new faces. I immediately recognized Tracy's lover sitting next to a younger woman. Tracy began, "Ryan, meet Elliot Franklin and his wife Gail. They've been our friends for a long time. I know this may shock you, but you insisted on knowing who he was. We all decided this was the best way to tell you. If you try to attack him, the guys here will intervene. We don't want anyone to get hurt. So you finally show me his face. It's a bit late to worry about me getting hurt, isn't it?" I said sarcastically. "You didn't care about hurting me, just keeping him safe. Don't worry, I won't touch him. I don't want any diseases he might have given Tracy." Everyone groaned in disappointment. Cassidy jumped in. "Brian, we understand your frustration. Can we speak calmly? We are trying to give you what you asked for. You wanted his name, and now you have it. We assumed you would also want to talk to him, and we've arranged that. Elliot doesn't need me to speak for him. He can speak for himself. We're just introducing you." Elliot stood up and held out his hand. "We've gotten off to a bad start. I hope we can be friends, or at least polite. I'll treat you with respect and courtesy, and I hope you will do the same." "May I call you Brian?" he asked. I kept my hands at my side. "First, since we're just meeting, Mr. Franklin, you should call me Mr. Wilson. I can't imagine our relationship warrants familiarity. Second, you promise respect after showing blatant disrespect. I won't ignore your insolence and treat you politely in return." "Fair enough, Mr. Wilson. My suggestion was for our conversation."
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Today, not past incidents. I'd like to discuss what happened between me and the woman you married. Please don't call her my wife. That title may be short-lived. I'm considering divorce, which I'm sure you know. How should I address her, Mr. Wilson? Refer to her as the woman I married. I'll accept that. Very well, Mr. Wilson. I'd like to explain what happened between the woman you married and me. I hope you find my perspective acceptable. I'm listening, Mr. Franklin. Go ahead. Elliot took a deep breath and began, "Look around this room, Mr. Wilson. You see a room full of attractive people, including the woman you married and yourself. Do you think it's a coincidence that your best friends are more attractive than average? This group came together like birds of a feather. As friendships grew, so did closeness. Everyone here is in a happy, stable relationship. Our goal is confidence in our soulmates, making us inseparable. We all believe the same about you and the woman you married," he continued. "Take my wife, Gail. She's as great to me as any woman here, and we plan to spend our lives together. No man here, including you, will take her from me. This confidence allows us to share with others for our mutual growth. Monogamy is outdated. True love involves trust, closeness, understanding, and sharing."
How nice for you and your wife, Mr. Franklin, and the rest of this group if they all agree.
But that has nothing to do with me and the woman I married. Excuse me, Mr. Wilson, but don't you see the benefits of trust, understanding, and security in your relationship? You could both grow by opening up to this, he said, spreading his arms to include everyone. If what you say is true, Mr. Franklin, then you just called every woman here a strumpet, including the one I married. I'm appalled you changed her morals so easily. A gentleman never interferes in marital relations as you have. I see your flawed logic, Mr. Wilson. This isn't one-sided. You too are invited to embrace our concepts. You could be with any woman here, if you desired. When you joined our group, it was inevitable you'd be invited to participate fully. If you hadn't reacted so harshly, she would have discussed the potential benefits with you. Instead, she panicked and retreated. I'm sure you'll see the benefits of what we suggest. We just need to find a way to make you comfortable. I see, I said, pretending to consider his words. Then I looked Tracy in the eye and asked, Is this true? You discussed this with them and agreed to test the waters with Mr. Franklin without telling me first. Tracy nodded nervously. I heard how these experiences improve and strengthen marriages, and I wanted the same for us. My love for you hasn't changed. I only wanted to show you what I learned to convince you it would be good for us, she smiled, realizing it was our first real conversation since that night. So you want me to believe that one session with him made you an experienced courtesan? It wasn't your first time, was it? She looked down, unable to meet my gaze. Mr. Franklin jumped in. Don't you see, Mr. Wilson? We helped her understand the benefits. You can participate too, and there are other advantages. So you think you're some kind of Casanova? I asked. Mr. Wilson, I am experienced and attentive. I help less experienced lovers like the woman you married. She will learn and grow, and you will benefit from her new experience. Everyone goes through periods of complacency. I looked at Tracy again. When have I resisted trying something new? If you wanted to spice things up, why didn't you talk to me instead of jumping into bed with him? She replied, Please don't misunderstand. Me, honey, you're a gentle and sweet lover, which I need most of the time, but sometimes I want something more forceful and direct, which Elliot showed me. He never tried to replace you in my heart. I kept my anger in check, realizing our relationship couldn't be repaired. Inside, I felt a storm, but outwardly, I stayed calm. Now, I aimed to gather ammunition to create chaos in their lives for destroying my home. Thank you, Brian. Now, do you see our group in a better light? Will you and Tracy join? Your marriage will grow stronger, I guarantee it. I forced a grin. I need more time to digest everything. Tracy and I need to talk one-on-one. Once we settle things, we'll get back to you. Is that okay? He grinned weakly, needing my answer immediately but not getting it. Sure, he said reluctantly. Take as much time as you need. He nodded, and three large men grabbed and held me. I wasn't going anywhere. Though surprised, I didn't feel threatened. Tracy walked over, pulled my cell phone from my pocket, and started deleting videos. Brian, we want to trust you, but until you're one of us, we have to protect ourselves. It was clear you were recording tonight's events on your phone. We can't afford that. Tracy nodded at Elliot, who asked, Is it all gone? Tracy replied, Yes, there's no recording of tonight. She tucked my phone away, showing she was fully committed to their group. I showed the look of defeat Elliot wanted. Elliot continued, Don't be so down, Brian. I'd like to think you were recording to choose who to be with first in our group, but we can't take that risk. He patted me on the back, and the group quietly left. I grabbed...
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
My keys and headed to the garage. Tracy asked, Where are you going? To pick up Bobby, if that's okay, I replied. I was hoping we could, you know, reconnect tonight. Do you really need to get him now? I miss my son. I'll be back soon, I said and walked out. I drove to Angus Steakhouse, hungry since I hadn't eaten dinner. The restaurant didn't disappoint. I savored the tender beef, mentally reviewing the night's events, hoping my plan would work out. Mrs. Stevenson thanked me for the generous tip. I might need her help again soon. Bobby was thrilled to see me and couldn't stop laughing all the way home. I bathed and fed him before putting him to bed. Tracy informed me she was cooking something light, but I told her I had already eaten and she should take care of herself. Offended, she brushed me off, not wanting to upset Bobby. Since we both had work tomorrow, I got ready for bed. Tracy wanted to talk. What's going on, Brian? You seemed interested in Elliot's offer, then you shut me out. What happened? She asked. I'm glad you asked. Let me answer with some questions. Your answers might provide clarity, I replied. Go ahead, she said. Just before they left, three men grabbed me in my own house. You said nothing. Is that true? It wasn't like that, she objected. Wasn't it? Three men grabbed me, yes or no, Tracy? Did it happen? Yes, she said, but I interrupted her. Yes, it did. Did you protest? Were there any witnesses who were also silent? Yes or no, Tracy? No, she answered reluctantly. We're starting to understand. Next question. Did I ask you to take my phone and delete anything from it? Yes or no, Tracy, be honest. No, she said quietly. So bear with me. This is a long question. Be careful so I don't have to repeat myself. You admit you had no objection to me being restrained in my own home. You also admit you took my cell phone and deleted recordings, not at my request, but at someone else's. Is that true, Tracy? Yes or no? I asked, my frustration clear. Yes, Tracy replied. Good, we're almost there. Since I was in the room and heard no one ask you to delete anything from my phone, you must have agreed to this task without my knowledge. Is that correct? I pressed. Tracy looked down. Yes, that's correct. I hadn't thought of it that way. You make it seem like a betrayal, she said, her voice shaking. It is a betrayal, Tracy. Now, why did I drop you like a hot potato? Your own answers reveal why. You proved today that you were on their side, not mine. Now I'm going to bed alone. I don't want to be around someone who so indifferently betrays me, I declared. Tracy started sobbing as I left her in the hallway. I locked the door. Around 4 a.m, I heard her trying to open it, but the lock foiled her attempts. Tuesday morning, I talked to the vice president. Dan, can you recommend a good divorce attorney, one who will fight hard for the husband? I asked him. Please tell me you're not asking for yourself, Brian, Dan pleaded, looking worried. Unfortunately, I am. I assumed you might know someone, I replied, trying to keep my composure. I'm friends with Ted Russ from our legal firm. He can recommend someone. Let me call him and get back to you, Dan offered. Thanks, Dan, I said, feeling a bit of relief. And don't worry, Brian. This stays between us, Dan assured me. You don't know how good that feels to hear. Thank you, Dan, I said, genuinely appreciating his support. On Ted's recommendation, I called B. Thorne's office and set up an appointment for 2:30 that afternoon. It turned out to be Beatrice Thorne. She told me her caseload was 70% women and 30% men, but she fights hard for her clients despite the circumstances. I convinced her of my position, and she agreed to take my case. She warned me I'd be paying child support until Bobby turned 18, including college expenses. I said I was fine providing for my son and hoped for 50-50 its custody. For alimony, she said I'd likely pay for 3 to 5 years, depending on the judge. In this state, it's usually 1 year of alimony for every 2 years of marriage, up to 20 years. After that, it's limited to 10 years. Although I'd have to deal with it, the thought of paying her to have fun with idiots pissed me off. Expecting our family to grow, Tracy and I rented the house we lived in for the past 4 years while planning to build our dream home. I had many sketches for our future retreat. Now those dreams are gone. At least the house won't be sold, divided, or fought over. Bobby, being so young, isn't attached to any particular home. If Tracy continues to rent the house, it doesn't matter to me. I know I could never sleep in the master bedroom again, knowing it had been used by that idiot. Who knows how many times they had been together before I discovered her infidelity? B explained that the average divorce in our state takes 8 months if uncontested and a year if contested. I hoped for the 8-month timeline. Staying married to a traitorous wife held no appeal now that I had decided to divorce Tracy. B also mentioned there was no financial benefit to filing a declaration of infidelity, but it could help in custody disputes. She said the paperwork could be ready by Thursday afternoon, and I asked her to serve Tracy at work on Friday at 10 a.m., so her friends and colleagues could witness it. After resolving the divorce issues and agreeing on a fee, I asked about living arrangements until the divorce was finalized. What questions do you have, Brian? B, my attorney, asked. My main concern is time with my son. 8 months to a year is a long time for both of us. I don't want to be an absent father. Would it be illegal or inappropriate to continue living in the same house to maximize my time with him? I inquired. While not uncommon, it can be challenging, B replied. How so? I asked, curious. When she's served on Friday, she'll be extremely unhappy. If you're nearby, she might retaliate. Are you prepared for her anger? B explained. Absolutely, I can handle it, knowing we'll be legally separated, I responded confidently. She may not want a divorce. Often, cheating wives want both their husband and their affair. She might try to prevent it, B warned. But it's a legal process, right? She can't stop it just because she wants to, I said, trying to understand the situation fully. True, but she could complicate things, B noted. How? I asked, concerned. If you become intimate before the divorce, the timeline resets to zero and you'll wait another 8 months. The state will see it as a desire to end the divorce process, B explained. That won't be a problem for me, though I can see Tracy trying to lure me into bed to disrupt the process. I have an iron will, B. I won't give in, I said firmly. You don't have to, B insisted. Tracy could claim you had an affair, and unless you can prove otherwise, which is nearly impossible, the timeline resets. The judge will find it hard to believe you weren't intimate while living together. I've seen it before, Brian, and I strongly advise against it. I countered, if she makes such a claim, would she need to provide specific details like time and place? I could refute those. Yes, she'd need details, but it would still be your word against hers, and the judge might believe her, especially if she's tearfully persuasive, B cautioned. Leave it to me. Thank you, B. You've been a great help, I said, feeling somewhat reassured. I then discussed another legal issue that I would face after the divorce. Tracy usually gets home half an hour before me, so I wasn't surprised to find her cooking. I avoided the kitchen and headed upstairs to shower. Using the hall bathroom gave her fewer opportunities to trap me. I took a change of clothes with me, practicing living separately under the same roof. When I came out of the bathroom, she was waiting in the hallway. Dinner will be ready soon. Bobby's in his high chair. You smell nice, she said. I'll be right down. Thanks, I replied, unlocking my spare bedroom door. The tension was palpable, but she didn't say anything sarcastic. As we ate, she began, I'd like to explain about the cell phone last night. Go ahead, I said calmly. Elliot knew you were recording and said it wasn't fair to expose everyone to that risk. They couldn't leave until the threat was neutralized. He suggested I delete the records myself in your presence. I see. And why did they trust you to do that to your husband? I asked. Because I gave them my word, Brian. I don't understand, she said, sounding confused. Understand what? Didn't you promise to be faithful to me on our wedding day? Silence followed my remarks, and I was glad for it. Darling, I don't want you to think I'm on their side. That's not true, Tracy insisted. It isn't. What if those men had grabbed you in our house? Do you think I would have stood by silently? I challenged. What choice did you have, Brian? They could have taken you easily, she reasoned. That's true, but that wouldn't have stopped me. I would have fought for you because I would have been on your side, not theirs. Last night, you acted like one of them, I pointed out. I'm sorry you don't understand, Brian. I explained about the cell phone. I don't know what else to say, she said, looking frustrated. There's nothing more to say, is there? I joked. You're right. How did you find those pictures, Brian? I'd like to know, she asked, her curiosity piqued. I'm sure you would. Maybe one of your friends isn't as loyal to your cause. What if a coworker sent those pictures to me? How would you feel? I teased. Who? Please tell me who, a man or a woman? She asked urgently. I can't tell you, Tracy. Why not? She asked, exasperated. I gave my word, I said with a grin. She realized she wasn't getting anywhere and decided to change the topic. Did you enjoy watching? She asked, trying a different angle. No, I just saw a bunch of animals, I replied, bluntly. That's right, Brian, it doesn't have to be emotional. It's supposed to strengthen our marriage, she argued. How's that going? Our marriage is hanging by a thread, I retorted. I already feel closer to you, she added sarcastically. Don't be like that. You don't understand. Tracy, has our life become so boring and devoid of fantasy that you think we can't survive as a couple without involving others? I asked, my voice filled with disbelief. I didn't say that. It's not about survival. Don't you want to do more than just survive? Shouldn't we take chances to strengthen our marriage? What's the damage in that? She asked, her voice full of frustration. The damage is the destruction of the trust we once had. Your experiments are tearing our marriage apart. Maybe your friends don't value fidelity, but I do. I don't trust you anymore, Tracy. You've shown you're capable of doing whatever you want behind my back. If it's so important, why didn't you talk to me before jumping into bed with another man? I responded, my voice rising. I knew you'd react like this. I thought if I participated and saw the benefits, I could bring what I learned to you. When you see the improvements, you'd understand the value, she explained, trying to justify her actions. So you and Elliot see yourselves as enlightened, thinking people like me need to be spoon-fed your superior knowledge? How elitist of you. I didn't realize how lucky I was, I said, sarcasm dripping from my words. She noticed. Let me show you what I've learned. I adopted techniques from Elliot and watched Gail closely last night. The goal is to improve our love life, not destroy it. Let me show you. You won't regret it, she enthused, attempting to persuade me. Every time I look at you, I cringe. I'm not interested in kissing you anytime soon. All you offer now is what used to be mine, shared freely with other men, I retorted, my anger barely contained. Only yours? You don't own me, Brian. I never have and never will, she said defiantly. You're right. I never claimed to own you. I thought you were mine because you said you gave yourself to me. Now you've taken that back and given it to another man. You've broken something in me, Tracy, and I'm not sure it can be fixed, I said, my voice filled with sorrow and finality. She started sobbing again. That was the last conversation we had until Friday. I spent all my free time with Bobby. I changed his diaper and didn't ask for her help. It was almost a game of who bathed him the most. Bobby enjoyed the attention, and so did I. Over the next few days, I researched Elliot and Gail Franklin. I found almost nothing. The only public record for an Elliot Franklin was a homeless man arrested for soliciting money downtown. The photo and age didn't match the one who had entertained Tracy. I'll keep trying to find out more about them. I arranged for Tracy to be served at 10 a.m. on Friday because I was attending a meeting of the local chapter of facilities managers. These meetings last 2 to 4 hours, including lunch, and are sponsored by contractors advertising their services. If Tracy called, my secretary would confirm my extended absence, and I'd leave my phone on silent, only answering emergency work calls. I wasn't avoiding Tracy. I wanted to give her time to process the shock before talking. When I returned to work, I saw her numerous messages and called her back. She answered quickly, clearly upset. "It's about time. Are you serious? Getting served in front of my friends? Do you know how embarrassed I was? Are you really divorcing me over this? I told you it was nothing, Brian. When will you get that through your head? Why won't you return my calls? Why won't you talk to me? My secretary should have informed you that I was in a management meeting. I called you back as soon as I could. I have a job to do. And when have I refused to talk to you? You've been avoiding me for the past 2 days. I'm still talking to you now. Let's resume this conversation after work when we have more time," I said firmly. She started crying. "I don't want a divorce. Please, Brian, don't divorce me. We'll talk tonight, okay, Tracy?" "Okay," she said, sniffling. "I love you." "Tonight then. Goodbye, Tracy," I said, ending the call. I had one more short meeting about a lab issue and called our contractor to resolve it. I arrived home early, knowing Friday afternoons are usually quiet. Realizing she might not want to cook, I picked up Chick-fil-A for dinner and texted her. She arrived shortly after I did. I grabbed Bobby from her car and carried him inside. She hugged me as I held him. I set him in his high chair and helped feed him. Babies can be messy eaters. And Bobby was at the stage where he liked to throw food. She thanked me for the takeout. We chatted and talked happily with Bobby even as she cried. I spent the evening with Bobby, not leaving his side until he was asleep. He was my focus and reason for enduring the situation. Later, I found Tracy in the living room, looking over the divorce papers. She took a deep breath to calm herself before speaking. "I'm sorry, Brian, okay? Is that what you wanted to hear?" she asked, her voice trembling. "Honestly, it's the first apology since this started." "What exactly are you apologizing for, Tracy?" I asked, my tone stern. "I'm sorry you saw those pictures and found out the way you did. I can only imagine how uncomfortable it was for you," she said, trying to sound sincere. "So you're sorry I found out? Not sorry you cheated?" "Got it," I replied, feeling the anger rise. "Don't say that." Elliot said, "Once you see the benefits of our group, you'd accept it. You'd have the freedom to be with other women just like I am with other men," she explained, desperately trying to justify her actions. "Of course, that's what he said. You and Elliot both failed to consult me about infidelity. It's a shame you trust his words over mine. He doesn't know me or our marriage, and apparently neither do you," I said, feeling betrayed. "Look, I realize now I acted wrongly. You're right, I should have talked to you first. Elliot told me that if I had approached you, things would have gone smoothly. He's convinced you'll come around, but now I'm not sure. Why don't you call off the divorce, and let's get back to normal?" she pleaded. "Normal? That train is derailed. You blew it up when you cheated. Just sign the papers and let's move on with our lives," I said, feeling resolute. "You don't want Bobby to end up in a single-parent family, calling another man daddy. No man wants that for his son. Reconciliation is the best option," she argued. "I wouldn't want him to call another woman mom if you remarried after a divorce," I countered. "That's true. You should have thought about all this before you broke your vows," I said, my voice cold. "It would hurt to hear him call another man daddy, but it's better than living in a house full of lies and deceit. I wouldn't be part of your group of infidelity. They may be attractive, but they are disgusting to me. I can never be intimate with you again, Tracy." "Put that in your pipe and smoke it," I said, my words laced with finality. "You're just saying that to hurt me, and it really hurts." "One point, Brian," she said, her voice breaking. "What if I gave up the idea completely? Swore I'd never get involved again? What if I turned my back on them as friends? I'm desperate. You and Bobby are the best things in my life. I'm sorry you think I've turned my back on us, but it's not true. I value you two above anything else," she pleaded, tears streaming down her face. "I hear your words, Tracy, but I don't believe you. You've already proven yourself to be a liar. I can't trust you anymore. Just sign the papers, and let's get this over with," I said, my voice firm. "I'll never sign those papers. I don't want a divorce, and I will fight you every step of the way, no matter how long it takes. I may have lost you now, Brian, but I want you back. I'll crawl to you on my hands and knees until you take me back, she vowed, her determination evident. Too bad you didn't have enough faith in us to stay true to your vows. Once a cheater, always a cheater. That's how I'll always see you, I quipped. She started sobbing, realizing the difficulty ahead. What now? She asked. I hope you don't expect me to leave. I'm staying here with Bobby. We have nowhere else to go, she mumbled. You're right. Bobby is my whole world now. I don't want to be away from him. That's why I'll stay here during the divorce. I won't get in your way. I don't need you to do my laundry, cook, or clean. You take care of your needs, I'll take care of mine, and we'll both take care of Bobby. Just don't touch me. You're disgusting to me. Now, we will coexist until the divorce is final, but there will be no reconciliation, I stated firmly. Her hope turned to dejection. I heard you, Brian, but divorce is a long road and a lot can happen. I'm going to get you back, honey. I swear I will, she declared. As long as you keep hanging out with your friends, you won't have a chance. I won't socialize with them again. If you ever bring one of your lovers here, you and he will regret it. Is that clear? I warned. Of course, sweetheart. I'll turn my back on them. If that's what it takes, do you want me to quit my job and be a full-time mom? She asked, trying to find a way to mend things. No, it's too late for that. Besides, if you did, I'd just be paying more in child support in the divorce, I responded bluntly. She didn't like my response but kept a cheerful smile. I decided to treat this as a temporary business arrangement. Nothing would stop me from spending time with my son. For a few weeks, we communicated politely, saying only what was necessary. Surprisingly, we agreed to several suggestions from my attorney. I would pay the rent if Tracy paid the utilities. I canceled all utilities in our joint names and reissued them in hers. Both our cars were paid off, so we each paid for our own gas and insurance. We took care of our own meals, so there was no need to share groceries. Financial independence was easier than I expected. Since I still paid most expenses, she accepted it. I transferred half of our savings to a new account in my name and left the rest in hers. She was unpleasant for a few days, but soon realized I was just enforcing the divorce terms she refused to sign. Tracy made every effort to engage me in conversation. I was always polite and never refused unless she got personal. I never asked her for anything or started conversations. One day, while looking for socks in my desk drawer, I realized I hadn't seen the three pictures of Tracy and her lover. I urgently searched all the drawers but couldn't find them. I knew who had taken them. Examining the lock on my door, I noticed fine scratches, suggesting she had a locksmith make a key. The next day, I bought two new identical locks for the bedroom and bathroom doors and kept the keys hidden. She didn't want me to know she could access my room, and I didn't want her to know she couldn't anymore. Her continued betrayal confirmed my decision to divorce was right. I wondered if she'd lie about her date with Elliot. After a few months of doubt, she began asking me to take her out or do couple activities. I always declined politely. She was getting nervous, missing her friends, but remembered her promise not to socialize with them. Then I started getting calls and messages from them, inviting me out or offering to stay away. I blocked each number without responding. In mid-December, she informed me she was having dinner with her friend Cassidy on Saturdays if I didn't. Mind watching Bobby. I agreed as long as she didn't bring anyone into the house. I joined my employer's bowling league on those Saturday nights, enjoying myself and the attention Bobby got from the ladies. It was much better than sitting at home wondering about Tracy. One day, I got home later than Tracy, and she asked where I had been with Bobby. I told her the truth. She asked to come along next time, and I told her honestly that I only left the house when she did. This upset her, but pleasing Tracy was no longer my concern. She often asked how we could be a loving couple again if I never gave her a chance. She never signed the divorce papers, which were supposed to take a year. 6 months later, my attorney, B. Thorne, informed me that Tracy's lawyer had successfully argued for 10 mandatory marriage counseling sessions, 2 a week. I had to attend and answer every question the counselor asked. I asked if I could repeat the same short sentence for every question. B. said as long as it was relevant to our marriage, it was fine. I thanked her and hung up. Tracy's lawyer ensured the counselor favored the wife and vilified the husband. I didn't care what the therapist thought as long as I followed the law. To every question and statement from Tracy and the therapist, I replied, I don't want to stay married to a promiscuous woman. Soon, they were both frustrated and angry. Despite the verbal abuse from both women, I remained calm and polite. After the fifth session, the therapist canceled the remaining sessions, calling them unproductive. The following months passed without change. I spent every spare minute with Bobby, strengthening our bond. 4 days before the divorce hearing, Tracy moved out with Bobby, and I was served with a restraining order. B contacted me with bad news. B, you know me better than that. Not one word is true, I said, trying to keep my composure. Okay, I needed to hear it from you. I will fight for you, but it will be hard without evidence. Has she provided all the information needed to investigate her allegations? B asked, her tone serious. Yes, I have the details in a folder in my office, I replied. Email me the information. Remember, you cannot contact her or your son until I tell you otherwise. If she calls, hang up immediately. Understood? B instructed. Got it, I repeated. 2 days later, I walked into the house after work and was shocked to see Tracy at the kitchen table. Her car wasn't there, so she must have come with someone else. My first impulse was to leave to avoid violating the restraining order, but she called out. Brian, turn around and listen if you want to see Bobby again. She had my attention. I just stared at her, keeping my distance. You don't have to say a word, just listen, she said. I stayed calm and non-confrontational. First, hand me your cell phone so I can turn it off, she demanded. I placed it on the table. She picked it up and turned it off to ensure no recording. I tried to talk you down, but you were stubborn. I had to resort to desperate measures. How does it feel to be on the other side? I claimed we had sex to turn back the clock, but Elliot convinced me to have a backup plan in case your lawyer objected. So I made up a story about you hitting me. We both know you never touched me, but I needed full custody of Bobby, leaving you with little time with him. It's cruel, but it gives me leverage. If you cancel the divorce and agree to join our group of friends, I'll lift the restraining order, move in, and we can resume our marriage. Bobby wouldn't be in a single-parent family. What's not to like? I promise you'll get used to it. What do you say, Brian? Live in the real world with me. You'll have a good time. She hit me where it hurt the most, my son. Nothing else in the world means as much to me as he does. I'll answer as soon as I can. For now, please leave, I insisted. She smirked as she walked past me, knowing she had leverage. I waited until I heard the door close. Looking out the window, I saw a shiny Lexus pull up, driven by Elliot Franklin. He must really want her in his group. I had a lot to think about. B informed me my presence at the divorce hearing wasn't required, but I wanted to be there. As I left the men's room heading to the courtroom, Tracy appeared and hissed, "You had your chance, you bastard! I'll tear you to pieces in there. Your son will never know your name and will call another man father. I will marry a real man who trusts and believes in me." She spat in my face and hurried away. Onlookers stared, wondering what I had done. I wiped my face with a handkerchief and entered the courtroom, sitting in the back. I hoped my lawyer was as good as her reputation. While waiting, I listened to other divorce cases and noticed those representing themselves were at a disadvantage. Our case wasn't heard until 1 p.m., making for a long day. Tracy testified first, detailing the alleged assaults with dates, times, and locations. She sought custody, child support, alimony, and maybe even jail time for me. Despite her tearful testimony, my attorney B remained calm, drawing flowers in the margins of her notes. Tracy's lawyer painted me as a violent and unsuitable parent, claiming Tracy had tried to reconcile and that my jealousy destroyed our marriage. After Tracy's lawyer finished, B began her questioning. I want to confirm that you're certain of the dates, times, and locations of the alleged attacks. Could you be mistaken, Mrs. Wilson? B asked. No, ma'am. My attorney told me to document everything and I wrote it all on a calendar, Tracy responded confidently. So you swear under oath that your allegations are accurate and true? B pressed. Yes, ma'am. The truth must be told, Tracy responded tearfully. No further questions, Your Honor, B said. You may step down, Mrs. Wilson. Thank you, Judge Cor Feldman advised Tracy. She and her attorney seemed stunned that B didn't question her more thoroughly. Tracy's smirk said it all. She thought she had won. She was ready to turn my son against me, and the thought made me shudder. Your Honor, I would like to call Mr. James McMahon to the stand to testify, B requested. The judge nodded, and a plain man took the seat. Tracy and her lawyer conferred, looking puzzled. Please state your full name for the record, B asked. James Winford McMahon. Thank you, Mr. McMahon. May I call you James? B inquired. Jim, please, he responded. Thank you, Jim. Can you tell the court where you work and the nature of your business? B asked. I own and operate McMahon Investigative and Security Services, Jim explained. Jim, how did you meet my client, Mr. Wilson? B continued. He approached me about 14 months ago, concerned about his wife, Mrs. Tracy Wilson. He suspected infidelity, but had no proof. We offer private investigative services to confirm such suspicions, and he used our services, Jim answered. What did you discover during your surveillance of Mrs. Wilson? B asked. We gathered evidence of her infidelity and provided him with 3 photographs of her in bed with another man, Jim stated. Were those the only existing copies of her dating? B asked. No, ma'am. We store all photos and videos in secure cloud storage and maintain the originals. Mr. Wilson only received copies, Jim clarified. And do you have other copies of these images? B asked. Yes, right here. They are copies of the uncorrupted originals, Jim confirmed. Thank you, Jim. Your Honor, we would like to admit these 3 photographs into evidence, B requested. The judge accepted the photos, reviewed them, and handed them to the bailiff for processing. Thank you, Your Honor. Jim, was that the end of your association with Mr. Wilson? B asked. No, ma'am. He was concerned the affair might be ongoing and asked for guidance. I recommended installing hidden surveillance cameras and microphones throughout the house to monitor and record phone calls, secret meetings, and graphic images, Jim explained. And did Mr. Wilson hire your firm to do this? B inquired. Yes, ma'am. We installed the equipment the next day while Mr. and Mrs. Wilson were at work, Jim confirmed. Objection, Your Honor? Tracy's attorney protested. I request that all evidence obtained through those hidden cameras be declared inadmissible. Mr. Wilson could have easily altered those recordings to smear my client. Judge Korfeldman looked at B. Before I rule on your objection, I'd like to find out if there are grounds for it. Attorney Thorne. Thank you, Your Honor, B replied. Jim, can you explain the nature and type of surveillance system installed in Mr. Wilson's home? All cameras transmit data wirelessly to a laptop hidden under the house, which is connected to a wired Ethernet hub, Jim explained. The data is streamed to our secure cloud servers. Mr. Wilson does not have access to the raw records. The laptop only stores the web address to which the content is sent. The only way to access these files is to contact my firm. We ensure the chain of evidence is constantly monitored. Mr. Wilson's only involvement is the monthly replacement of the camera batteries. Judge Feldman smiled at Jim and nodded. I've seen you in my courtroom before, Mr. McMahon. Your firm has an excellent reputation. The objection is overruled. Thank you, Your Honor, B responded, turning back to Jim. She continued, Jim, you heard Tracy Wilson's testimony accusing my client of assault. Here are the dates and times of the alleged assaults. Do you think her accusations have any merit? No, ma'am, they don't, Jim replied confidently. What makes you so sure? B asked. When we reviewed the recordings from those dates, there were no incidents of violence. Mr. Wilson was happily playing with his son, and Tracy Wilson was alone in another room. The house was peaceful at the times of the alleged assaults. Tracy and her attorney avoided eye contact, focusing on the floor. Jim, can you provide additional information regarding her allegations? B prompted. Yes. I have a transcript of a phone call Tracy made the day before she moved, Jim stated. She talked about hating to see her husband treated this way and mentioned someone else punching her up so she could blame him. She planned to use this as leverage against him. Objection, Your Honor. That's hearsay, Tracy's attorney interjected. I can provide the original tapes. The transcript is an accurate reflection of her words, Jim offered. Tracy's lawyer did not object further. Thank you, Jim. No further questions, Your Honor, B said, and sat down. Judge Feldman then addressed Tracy's attorney. Would you like to question this witness? Defeated, Tracy's attorney replied, No questions, Your Honor. Thank you, Mr. McMahon. You may leave the room, Judge Feldman said. Thank you, Jim responded, and then left the courtroom. After Jim took his seat, the judge continued, It's clear that an innocent man is being falsely accused to sway the court for full custody. Mrs. Wilson has perjured herself, a third-degree felony punishable by up to 36 months.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
In prison. This transcript will be forwarded to the district attorney for possible prosecution. I grant full custody of Bobby Wilson to his father, Brian Wilson. Tracy Wilson will have visitation rights at Mr. Wilson's discretion. Mr. Wilson, please be generous with visitation, as your child needs his mother. I nodded in agreement. As for alimony, I award $1,000 per month to Tracy Wilson for 42 months. Each of you will keep your automobiles. The checking and savings accounts will be divided equally based on the balances as of the divorce petition filing date. Each party will retain their retirement accounts. Since Mr. Wilson has primary custody, the court will not award child support. Mr. Wilson, do you wish to stay in your current residence or move? Judge Feldman asked. I stood up. Your Honor, I don't want to live there any longer than necessary. Tracy can keep renting the house. I'm moving out. Very well, Mr. Wilson. The lease will be left to Mrs. Wilson, Judge Feldman confirmed. Tracy staggered to her feet. You have 8 hours to return the child to Mr. Wilson. If you refuse, you will be held in contempt of court. Understood? Yes, Your Honor, she said tearfully. Good. All restraining orders are lifted, and I grant the petition for divorce in Wilson v. Wilson. You will both receive divorce decrees within 30 days, Tracy cried, realizing she had lost her family. She turned to comply with the judge's order. Brian, I'll bring Bobby to your place tonight after dinner. I'd like to be with him for a few more hours, Tracy said, turning to me. That's not necessary, Tracy. I've already found a new apartment and will move there as soon as I leave here. I handed her a piece of paper. Here's the address. Bring Bobby tomorrow at noon. I'll be settled in by then. She nodded sadly. I'm sorry this isn't the outcome I wanted. Well, now you can have the interesting love life you wanted without me. Good luck with your next open marriage, I said sarcastically. She didn't respond. Brian, thank you. For what? I asked, surprised. For not going after Elliot and Gail Franklin. They are wonderful people. Too bad you'll never know them like I did, she said. No problem. I have no interest in Elliot or Gail Franklin, but I am interested in your company. I found out they have a strict non-fraternization policy. Tomorrow I'll be suing your company, claiming violations of their policy destroyed my marriage and almost cost me my son. Ronald Hensley will be named as the main culprit. Apparently he slept with a dozen female employees. He's your manager, right? Tracy looked shocked. As it turns out, Ronald has a wife, Lydia, and 2 children. I don't know if she knows about his antics, but I'll make sure she does, including his relationship with Rita Consuela, or as you know her, Gail. But why? His wife and children don't deserve this, she pleaded. Neither did Bobby, I replied coldly. Why? He destroyed my marriage. Why shouldn't I destroy his? He almost took my son from me. Why shouldn't his children know the truth? Even now, you defend him. If you stick around, Tracy, you might get your dream man. He could be divorced within a year. The downside is, he might also be unemployed, just like your call center girlfriends. Their silence about Ronald's behavior also violates company policy. You want us all fired? How am I going to support myself now? She objected. Oh, don't worry. Your job is safe. I promised your company I wouldn't publicize this as long as they kept you on staff. You might start your own group of followers. Just imagine how wonderful your life will be without me in the way. Once you explain how infidelity strengthened our marriage, the ladies will be eager to join. You might have trouble hiring another manager, but maybe one of the husbands will step up. Imagine all the exciting possibilities, I said. But why are you protecting my job and firing everyone else? She asked. Because Bobby needs a mother in his life. It's not a dream job and it doesn't pay much, but it's enough so you don't have to rely on me for money. When Bobby asks how I treated you in the divorce, I want to say I was fair. If you tell him otherwise, I'll show him the proof. Tracy and her friends didn't know I had known her lover's real name from the start. My private investigator did an excellent job. An engineer always approaches a problem with knowledge. If we don't have the answer, we find someone who does. B, my lawyer, sued Tracy's call center for $1.5 million and settled for a tidy sum. She kept $250,000 and the rest went to me. I wrote Tracy a check for $42,000, paying my child support obligations in full with plenty left over to build my dream home. Word spread quickly at work, and many single ladies saw me as a potential catch, but after this roller coaster, I'm going to focus on Bobby for a while before dating again. Free at last.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.